Hello, folks, and welcome to a special edition of Viper, Tales from the Highway. It's going to be a little different this time. We're going to bring you an interview that I had just a few days ago with the designer of the Defender Star Car from Viper. So sit back and enjoy the ride. Join Mr. G, creator of Viper Central, the first fan-based website, podcasting from the depths of the power station. STL of ProjectViper.com, podcasting from the Viper Complex. And NBC Viper, the superfan, podcasting from an undisclosed location in Canada. Join us as we take a deep dive into the 90s action series Viper. We hope to bring you new information surrounding this series with an inside look. This is Viper, Tales from the Highway. Hello, Mr. Steve Ferrario. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
I'm not too bad at all. Gosh, has it been 20 years or so, about, since I met you in New Orleans?
It was, just like the 20 years ago when I met you at the hotel there.
That's crazy. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Steve Ferrario, who got his start with Chrysler Corporation in 1983, working through the ranks, becoming an automotive designer and up to Director of Advanced Product Design at Chrysler's main product design office, retiring from the business in 2008. Welcome to the podcast, and thank you for not only taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today, but thank you for creating one of the most awesome vehicles to come out of the 1990s.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, Steve, what would you say was your favorite memory working at Chrysler throughout those years?
Well, that certainly was one of my favorites, doing the Viper car for the television show. I mean, that was totally different. It involved doing what I like to do, which was designing cars, but I didn't really have to worry about all the constraints that you have when you do design a real car, mainly fitting the occupant and storage space and all that. So
lighting, turn signals, mirrors, all that Department of Transportation stuff.
All the requirements. It was a lot of fun doing that. And then just going out to California and meeting them and seeing the show being recorded and seeing the car being used, that was a fun experience.
Now, as far as your favorites, what publicly available vehicle that you were involved in would you consider to be your favorite?
Well, the car that I felt like made me believe I could do this, the LH series cars, which were back in the early 90s, I had done a sketch for a concept vehicle before the LH cars came into existence, and that sketch had a lot to do to influence the body style, the shapes, the forms on the car, and that made me feel, you know, like maybe I've got to where I want to be.
That was the cab forward design, the early LH, correct?
Right. Yep, it certainly was. I was involved a little bit with the Viper program, the real Viper program, but Bob Hubick really had most to do with that. I got to be involved with the minivan. My theme was used on one of the body sides of a minivan. I forgot what model year that was. It's been so long ago. I was involved with the Wrangler, the LH cars, the Dodge Charger, and the Chrysler 300. I was involved with a great deal with Grand Cherokee and the Durango.
Absolutely. As far as concept vehicles that you were involved in, because you know those concepts, they can go wild and crazy with those. So what would you say was your favorite concept car that you had been involved with?
Well, I was involved with the Jeep truck that's out now, the Renegade, and I was sent to...
Gladiator or the Renegade?
Gladiator, sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
I was sent to Cobo Hall before the auto show when it was revealed, and got to do a interview with the local channel down there, and I was sent out to near Lake Tahoe where they test all the Jeeps.
Is that the Rubicon Trail?
Yeah. And they brought out a bunch of magazine journalists and reporters and all kinds of media, and we had several Jeeps there and got to ride on the trails. I'd never been off-roading, and the Jeep Wrangler made me look like I knew what I was doing. So that was a lot of fun. From the Gladiator on to the Wrangler.
Yeah, I want to say, I believe toward the end of your tenure at Chrysler, you were heavily involved with the Jeep side of things.
Right, correct. Well, yeah. You know your stuff.
Well, it's a Mopar or no car family in this household. Always has been and always will be as far as I'm concerned, unless, you know, the new, we won't go there. Let's turn the clock back to the early 90s, 1992 to be exact. How did you hear about the project within Chrysler for this Paramount television series relating to the brand new Dodge Viper, which, mind you, was the hottest thing in the world at that time? How did you become involved with it?
Well, they just told us one morning in a staff meeting that they had a project for us that was a little different, and they told us just to, you know, an outline of what they were looking for. And so we were sent off to start sketching and prepare for a presentation that we'd be making to Danny Bilson and
Paul DeMeo.
Yeah, yeah. They would be coming out and looking at the sketches, and I don't know if it was the first trip they made. I don't know how many trips they made to Chrysler to see the sketches and make the decision. I just remember that after one of the trips, they told me that they liked the sketch that I did. So I was thrilled, and they said, so you will be involved with them and start working on this particular vehicle. And so I got a package, which was basically a Viper, but they wanted to stretch the wheelbase to change the car even more so, make it a little more dramatic. And so I started working with a stretched wheelbase package, as I called it, and started sketching around that. And that's the sketch they saw was the one that, that was applied to the package. And then we went on to model it, and they came out and proved that. And then we built a running prototype, and they came out and signed off on that. And then they shipped the cars along with some just action scene models, which would be, it looked like the car, but it was nothing but a shell. Or they'd have the interior so that they could just do a close-up on a certain part of the interior, but they would have all these little parts of cars that were built also just to aid them in their, you know, their movie making
magic.
Right.
Yeah, there were camera process cars and buck vehicles. Well, you actually answered a couple of my questions in that bit, but how did it feel once you learned that the producers liked your design concept sketches of the Defender?
Oh, I was excited as hell. I mean, it wasn't the ultimate reward that a car designer wants, and that is to design a car that makes it out into production and is sold in the hundreds of thousands. But I had my share of involvement with those types of things too, but no one person really deserves full credit for design that makes it on the road. Someone does a concept sketch, someone above them helps them interpret that concept sketch to a three-dimensional model, and the person does this concept sketch may think that he's lost something when it made it to production, but the reality is it has to be made into production, and when it's all said and done, the concept is definitely visible in the production vehicle most of the time. So that's, you know, I got to do that also, but this one, even though it was seen on television and not driven on the road, it was still satisfying.
Absolutely. You have to be very proud to see that when it's blazing past the camera or, you know, on the TV. It's like, there's the Defender. And speaking of the Defender, was there an internal project code with Chrysler for that project? Or was it called Defender at the time?
That's a good question. That I do not remember. I'm afraid I have nothing for you on that.
All good. Did Chrysler give any restrictions to Paramount's input or vice versa? Was there, say, things that Paramount wanted where maybe Chrysler said no, or that Chrysler wanted and Paramount said that doesn't quite fit what we're looking for, that you can recall?
There was definitely those types of things discussed, the way they wanted viewed, how many minutes the actual Viper needed to be in the show and all that kind of stuff. But at that time, I was not involved with that kind of decision.
Okay.
Able to do the car design itself.
Yeah. Was the vast difference in wheelbase intentional, which obviously you kind of answered that, or did those stretch dimensions happen during the process?
I think the difference in dimension, 13 inches strikes in my mind. You may know better than I do. You may know more of the specifics.
I've heard varying reports on the stretch. I've heard 15 inches, 16 inches, 20 inches. I mean, it runs the gamut.
I think it was between 11 and 13 inches. I think it was 13 inches, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They wanted a noticeable stretch.
Yeah, and you can see it for sure, especially those rear wheels. They're straight out back at the corners.
Right.
How many people were on the team responsible for the car? Because according to the U.S. patent issued on the Defender, yourself, a Mr. Robert Hubbard, Ricardo Ineros, Ernest Berry, and Neil Walling are attributed as the, quote, inventors. Can you elaborate who is responsible for what?
Well, I can't really remember Bob Hubbick, what he did on that. I know that I did the exterior. I believe Steve Wan actually should have been included on that patent. He was a young man that worked for us for a little while. He's now back over in Asia somewhere. I'm not sure where he is, but he did a lot of the little peripheral things, like the little plane that rolls out of the back of the car, like a, you know, like today's
the Pro.
Drone. Yeah, the drone.
Exactly. That's forward thinking if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, and I think he also did the detailed sketch of how the machine gun would look when the side of the exhaust cover on, it looked like an exhaust cover, but I think it really cantered out and then allowed a gun to come out of there. He did those kind of little sketches that helped support the peripherals on the car.
Actually, the patent inventors that I quoted were actually for the Viper GTS Coupe. So the inventors on the Defender patent would be yourself, Ernest Berry, and Neil Walling.
Yeah, and Steve Wan. Now, Ernest J. Berry and Neil Walling were my bosses at the time.
Oh, okay. So they're on all paperwork.
Yeah. I reported to Ernie Berry, and Ernie Berry reported to Neil Walling. And they let me have, you know, a lot of rope. I know Neil made a suggestion to me one time that I politely said, no, I'd rather not. And he said, okay, if that's what you want to do, and keep it that way. And so I really got to have a significant amount of influence on the way the car looked from a aesthetics of the body itself.
Very cool. What is your favorite attribute on the Defender, both on the real-life car and in the show's make-believe world?
Well, in the make-believe world, it was the front end, because I think I caught a Viper feeling in the front end itself, which helped
absolutely
give it the snarly snake look that it had. I think the front end on the original car was dynamite also. The original Viper itself was just fantastic.
Oh, I agree. And that transformation sequence, especially in that first season, was just off the charts in terms of just how incredible that CGI looked at the time. To watch it transform from the crosshair to the fangs. The Viper show, I'd say we were a small, dedicated group of fans, and we'd love to see it back. But it would be interesting to see where they would take it in today's world.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't be that car again. It wouldn't be that one. It would be a totally new
for sure. And how did you personally feel about the show and the project, having worked on it, looking back?
I was proud of it. I enjoyed it. I knew it was kind of a, you know, fringe type of television show. But, hell, it had our car in it, the Dodge Viper. It had the one I designed in it. I had some equity in it. So, you know, I owned it and I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. No, us fans do too. I mean, that's why this podcast is in existence. And our end goal is just to tell the story from the beginning to when it ended.
Right.
I guess that about wraps it up, unless there's anything that you'd like to add.
I know HO Scale Models came into us, and they wanted to do a little, I don't know what scale that was. You know, they're about 4 inches long, and they did it for a while, but it ended up getting canceled. But in the process, they did prototypes, and I was able to acquire one of the bodies.
Oh, that's cool.
And I put it on a little HO frame. It happened to be a similar wheelbase, and painted it and made it look just like the car. So I have a little model in a glass case with a little picture of the original sketch underneath it. And that's something I keep around just to remind me of that time.
I believe you sent a picture of that to me probably 15 or so years back.
I sent you pictures of a lot of the stuff, the production stuff.
Unfortunately, most of that got, I had a hard drive crash and I lost the bulk of those production sketches. And I just have the low res copies of most of that.
Okay. Well, if there's something specifically you need, you let me know and I'll try to look through it to see if I can find it. I haven't looked at all that other than the model that just sits there on the shelf. I haven't looked at the other stuff in a long time.
Yeah, I believe you had a binder with some of the sketches or copies of the sketches, and there was also a cast photo in there.
Yep.
Which, until you sent me that, that's the first time that I had ever seen that photo. And so that was so cool, me just some, you know, kid from the deep south. I was just blown away at just how generous you were with taking the time out of your schedule to record the episodes, butting VCRs next to one another, and you snail mailed me a physical copy of the first season because I hadn't seen it at that point. So I wanted to thank you. That was very special to me, and it's something that I'll always remember, and to think it was the guy who was responsible for that Defender, that I couldn't have got it from a better source.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad I can help out.
Again, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us today. And with that, we will see you next time.
Okay. Well, it was good talking to you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can find us on Anchor, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, and Spotify. We are very glad that you joined us, and we'll see you guys next time on Viper Tales from the Highway.